The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The Big Story from the Straits Times on Money FM 89.3.
Hello, I'm Olivia Quay. You can subscribe to the Straits Times channel so you never miss a single episode. Well, out of all marriages here in 2019, 22.9% were inter-ethnic unions from 5.6% back in 1965. Now, observers the Sunday Times spoke to said this increase is a positive trend of cross-cultural interaction and inclusion between communities. But they also acknowledge the persistence of problematic views centered on racial hierarchies and stereotypes. For instance, what happened earlier this month? In this viral video, Poly lecturer Tan Boon Lee confronting mixed-race couple Dave Parkesh and Jacqueline Ho. Now, it highlights the racially insensitive, racially offensive encounters that mixed-race couples experience on a regular basis. One couple, Jacqueline Louis and Abraham Christopher, told the Sunday Times about an incident in a cab when the driver asked Jacqueline why she had to date an Indian man and if Singapore had run out of Chinese boys. Well, Jacqueline and Abraham join me now. Hi, guys. Welcome to the show. So you have been married for over 5 years. Before that, though, did you have discussions about your relationship as an interracial couple? And, you know, I guess the challenges that come with it. Abraham, why don't you start us off?
Yeah, I'd say not really challenges, but I think as a couple who are learning to love each other and learning more about each other, naturally, there are differences between the two of us. And that goes beyond just race, right? Even from religion, we weren't the same religion. And from like our personal preferences and the way we were brought up, our upbringing. But I think if we look at racial culture, definitely there were a few differences where I needed to learn some things from her and she needed to learn some things from me. So some of the ones that I know off the top of my head was like the etiquette around dining culture in the Chinese culture. So, for example, I had to ensure that I acknowledged the elders before we started eating. And if I didn't do that, then that might come across as quite rude. Or even during Chinese New Year, I remember like telling her that I'm really shy. Do I really have to go up to your aunties and your uncles and like give them the oranges and say all these auspicious words? Can I just wave and say Kong Ti Fa Chai from where I am? And she was like, no, that's going to come across as really rude. So I had to learn quite a lot of things, but it was really an eye-opening experience for me. And I really enjoyed all of those. And I think likewise for Jack, who was like very, very into the Indian food, and I had to teach her how to eat with hands and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I think exactly. I think just listening to what Abraham had to say, I think less on challenges, but really understanding each other, like differences in like cultural upbringing, I would say. And I think Singaporeans, we all being foodies, food is one thing that I think we really kind of worked on together as well. So we really looked up like different recipes, Indian, Chinese recipes. We tried out like North Indian food, South Indian food, and that kind of really like spiced up our relationship.
Well, Jacqueline, you know, in speaking to our colleague, you singled out an incident with a cab driver 6 years ago. Aside from this instance, what are the day-to-day microaggressions that you guys face as an interracial couple?
I think I would say that we have been very blessed in the sense that we haven't really had such confrontational incidences like we have seen over the last couple of weeks. I would say there are those minor passing comments from like kopitiam aunties or like wet market store holders where they will ask questions like your boyfriend or your husband. And I think to us, really, to me, I think I would think that those are more inquisitive comments or like pleasantly surprised, or maybe I'm just a bit more nonchalant towards such comments. But I wouldn't think that they are being racist in any sense in that way.
Yeah. I think for me, I'm more bemused than anything that some people may find our relationship exotic. In my family, a lot of my relatives, you know, immediate and extended, have dated and even married people outside of their race or religion. So I always grew up with that as being the norm and never like we are something unique or special. So yeah, I think we've been kind of blessed in that way to not have faced any kind of aggression, micro or macro, outside of that cabin.
Yeah. Right. Well, as you know, race issues, as you mentioned before, have become more of a talking point in the last few weeks, especially interracial relationships. You know, they have become a national talking point since last week following the Orchard Road racist incident. So how did you guys react to that incident and the race discussions that followed?
Yeah, I saw it. And to be very honest, if I removed all my emotions and just looked at it very objectively, initially, I didn't feel that, I think Mr. Tan was his name, you know, I wasn't very insulted by what he said at the beginning, because he had a personal opinion, right? He had a preference that people should date within their own race. And if that's his preference, then that's fine. But I think where then it crossed the line and it became an issue was when he decided to impose that opinion on someone. And when they didn't bite, he incited hatred and kind of then insulted a whole group of people by calling them predators and also calling out the girlfriend as a disgrace to a family. And I think when you do that, then that becomes an issue. And it's more than just race. It's larger than that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think adding on to that, we had a discussion as well at length. And I think the conclusion that we came to was that I think it's more than a race issue that Abraham have said. I think today it can be race, tomorrow it can be gender, the next day it could be religion. I think if we take a bird's eye view on this topic at large, I think it's more of a moral issue that we as a society is facing than just race itself.
Right, for sure.
Yeah, I think people need to understand the fine line between freedom of speech and being offensive. Yeah.
Yep, good points there, guys. Well, you have a 2-year-old daughter, Diana. What are your parenting beliefs when it comes to raising her now as a toddler? And also, you know, when she grows up, you know, when she becomes an adolescent and a teenager eventually.
So I think being a mother myself, babies are not born racist, right? What their opinions are going to be in the future, their viewpoints in society is all being molded by parents and caregivers, right? So I would say, I think in the generations to come, right, in 10, 20 years time, when Dinah grows up, I think with more mixed marriages like ourselves, it's going to be harder to then, you know, differentiate if Dinah is an Indian, Chinese, Malay. And I think where we hope society will become one day in the years to come really is, you know, identifying ourselves as Singaporeans. It's really hard, I think, in that time, if you really want to pinpoint someone, if they are Malay or Chinese, it's really difficult. Yeah.
Well, very well said. Thank you so much for joining me today. I've been speaking with Abraham Christopher and Jacqueline Louis. We want to hear from you on this topic, so leave your comments below, but of course, do keep them respectful.